about what whatever missionary wife wished that we knew. We are at number 10 tonight, and I am going to be finishing these. Okay? Number 10. You'll have to read the others on your own. There are some more papers on the table if you need another one. We wished you knew we need your patience when we are on furlough. After living overseas for several years, we pick up unusual habits and phrases. And our kids pick them up even more because, as we know, the children learn so much quicker. And most likely, America has changed quite a bit since we visited. And we may have forgotten how to work the credit card machines or the soda fountains and even how to order our favorite cup of coffee. We may be a basket of emotions when we're on furlough. Try to imagine about hearing about 5 divorces, 3 deaths, and a wayward child in just a few weeks. Obviously, getting their information update, I would think, from an extended group of people. Because certainly if a sibling or a close relative were to have any of these happen, they would likely be communicated in our day via a text or an email. But nevertheless, depending on what country they're in, even that communication could be limited. And like I say, if you're talking an extended family of people, then you could be hearing such tragic things. And the author of this, the lady that writes it, says, try to imagine hearing about these different things. While everyone else has moved on already, we are still just coming to grips with what we've been told. Then add the joy of reuniting with loved ones, learning how to function again in a completely different culture. And she says, you have a woman who is bound to burst into tears over the silliest thing. Now here again, we understand that various missionary wives, there's different temperaments and personalities of different missionary wives. Some of them are very strong and resilient about the kind of things that's described in these papers, and others are much more sensitive and emotional to them. And therein, all this writer is saying is, just take time to consider these things. And so if you have a missionary family come in, and you have the wife who just doesn't seem to be with it, and don't assume she's unfriendly or standoffish. She may be dealing with something the nature of which is discussed in this paper. Now, true, she might be not so nice. Okay, but you know, it's up to us to give them the benefit of the doubt. It's up to us to remember these kind of things so that we're sure that we return kindness when it seems like some kind of a negative vibe is coming our way or your way. Okay? That's important. And not every missionary wife is... some of them would really rather just stand off in a corner. Some of them would really rather... blend into the woodwork, as it were. Okay? They're not the kind who wants to be out front and up front, you know. You ask that kind to teach. I know Pat often would ask the missionary wife if she would like to teach the ladies Sunday school class. Some of them were very willing, were grateful for the opportunity. And some of them, that just wasn't their area of service. It wasn't their cup of tea. And so then she would handle that in whatever ways she handled it. But how did you handle that?
I just taught.
Huh?
I taught.
Yes, you taught. But, I mean, did some of them give a testimony? Or?
They were
Okay, doesn't remember. Wow. That's a problem when your memory doesn't remember, huh? And so, but you get the idea. And that's important that we realize this when the missionaries come in. And you know, not every missionary man. Now, they must stand up and talk. They must give a message. But not every one of them is absolutely comfortable doing it. Especially if that missionary is in what we call a support role. I mean, like they're going to be going to a field where there's several missionaries and they're going to be fixing vehicles. They're going to be a maintenance man. They're going to be a Terry Ireland. Now, Terry's not in. Yeah, well, I just realized that when I got into this thing. You know, Terry will tell you what he's doing, places he's been, but, you know, don't expect him to preach a Rip Snorton message, and that's not to say that he can't preach a message, but, you know, we've just got to remember not everybody can be put into a slot that we think they should fit into because they are a missionary. They'd leave our church, and I believe we do a good job on these kind of considerations. And I know the pastor does all that he can to make the missionary feel at ease and comfortable. But we all need to be thinking this way, okay? Just so, you know, 'cause what happens is that missionary gets up, and we might, you know, he might look like the missionary that was here two times before. And maybe the one two times before was a tremendous preacher. And this guy reminds us of him. But he's not a tremendous preacher. And so then we can begin to, this guy isn't so good. That's not the way to think. It's not a matter of not being good. This guy's different. He's not like the guy two times ago, even though he resembles him. You see, there's different ways that we can evaluate, or maybe somebody sounds alike, or maybe the missionary wife reminds us of, and then you go over and you think of other missionary wives. That you can't avoid doing that. That's just something that happens. But you don't have to park there. You don't have to accept that. And you allow that wife, that man, to be their own person. Okay? To be their own person. Isn't that what you'd like for yourself? Isn't that the way you would want other people to treat you? And not just slot you someplace that you don't fit into? Of course. All right. Then, number 11. We wish you to know how your prayers really, and then you see it's written again in italics, really matter. I didn't retype this. There's a place or two where I changed a word that I think their spell checker was on, but it didn't catch the word, okay? Because the word it spelled was a literal one. And number 10, the one before, it begins after leaving overseas for several years. I think that meant living. But you see, leaving wouldn't show up as something wrong because it's a word. And so in my copy, I changed that. I didn't catch that in time to change yours. And so we wished you knew that your prayers really, really matter. We know that when our family has faced some ginormous battle that, you know, I'm gathering this as a younger couple, okay, by the use of the term ginormous. Okay? That isn't somebody from pastors or my era, okay? We might use it now, but anyway. And help came because people like you were on their knees. We've heard testimonies of that, haven't we? As a matter of fact, one recently is niggling my brain that we've heard that somebody had a need and somebody was praying at that very time. And when they were talking with each other, it became known. And you've heard that through the years. I've heard that several times that happened. And like I say, just recently that came to being. And I don't know, was it here or was it... Pardon?
It was Cliff Taylor.
Cliff Taylor. Okay. All right. Brother Cliff Taylor had that happen. And do you remember what it was?
He said that he was in the middle of one of his heart spasms and he felt someone praying.
Ah, okay. Very good. So it is important when the Lord puts somebody on our heart or mind that we take the time to pray for them. If you're driving down the road, it's what I call a flash prayer, you know? You can keep your eyes open if you're driving. And you can just pray for that person. God knows what's going on. And so, she gives a Bible example of Peter in jail. And she says here, he likely would have been killed by Herod, but the church was praying for him, it says, without ceasing. And we know that he was released. And isn't this true? It shocked him. It shocked the church. He's at the door knocking. Well, was it Rhoda? Go answer the door. Well, who's there? Guy who says he's Peter. Oh, that's a paraphrase. But they really didn't expect it. You say, well, then what's the bother of praying? Listen, our praying and asking God shows God our dependency on Him. Even when our faith is not there like we would like it to be. So keep praying. And number 12, we wished you knew that the money and time you spend on packages is not wasted. It's amazing how we are quick to assume that we're not materialistic. We live without air conditioning, carpet, Walmart, Target, dishwashers, clothes dryers, and other conveniences we were accustomed to in America. But when we see that unopened box sitting at the post office, we bubble over inside with anticipation of seeing Butterfingers, Crystal Light, Crayola crayons, Yankee candles, Kool-Aid, and obviously whatever else. Now, number one, if we're communicating with our missionaries, okay, and I didn't get my chart made yet, but I'm going to make it, okay? And I might bring you a sample of it, so gives you some ideas, okay? But if we're communicating with our missionaries, then we'll know the kind of things they like. And if we don't come across it in general communication, you can just ask them. We'd like to send your family a goodie box. What are some of the things you like? Now, she covers in here that it's expensive to mail. We, Pat and I, came to the point where we deposit money in Monica and Mark's account here in the States so they can access it. Because we ended up spending more on shipping than the items that were in the box. But Mama likes to send things. And she still will. She'll find something light, okay? Like maybe a blouse, okay? It's amazing how much that's even going to cost. But they like getting a package. And so I realize in some countries, shipping the actual item may not be possible. I know that there was one time where I sent money to a missionary's account, and then I emailed the missionary, and I was trying to think who this was. I'm saying that now because Pat's going to ask me when we're driving down the road. Who was that missionary? I don't remember. But I sent them money in their account, and then I sent them an email and said, look, I just put $25 in your account. It's for your family to have a good time with in whatever way you want to do it. And they, of course, were appreciative of it. There's some times where the family may prefer to go buy the things locally. And if you're wanting to send a package, you can find out a favorite mailable, that's what you put in parentheses, mailable item. So in that case, you're sending each kid, like one maybe a candy bar, another a box of colors, another a coloring book. You're sending Dad the Kool-Aid. You're sending Mom whatever kind of spice she can't buy. So in other words, you're not, we would tend to want to put several items for each person in the box. And then it can indeed get too expensive. So, you know, there's ways to deal with the cost of shipping. And there's some missionaries, and here, look, you ask God. You ask God, should I send a package or should I put the money in their account? In which you just mail it to their agency for their, for that missionary. And you ask God to show you. And if he really puts it on your heart and mind to send a package, even though it may cost more in shipping than is reasonable, and it will, believe me, that's part of the gift. And if he prompts you that way, they likely need that kind of encouragement. So there's many things to think of here. And then the last one, we want you to know that we love being a missionary's wife, and though our paths are often fraught with difficulty, we count our sacrifices very, very small when we think of what Jesus Christ has done for us. They're excited about going to foreign lands and perhaps being the first people to tell, the first missionaries to tell the people about Jesus Christ. Thank you all for your patience through this rather lengthy list. I hope that, and I remind you, keep this where you pray, because you can use it to help you in praying for missionaries, along with the How to Pray for Missionaries paper that we have over on the literature rack. But we must pray diligently. Listen, as I've shared this stuff with you, it's spoken to my heart. It's some things like, you know, mailing your missionary. Boy, I hit that one hard, didn't I? And then it dawned on me, I don't do that. And so now I'm going to do that. Well, you're retired. You have all kinds of time for it. Listen, that is an old wives' fable. First of all, people, when they're retired, they have more to do because, number one, it takes them longer to do it. And then the next thing is, well, he's retired. Get him to do it. And so, you know, I heard one fellow say one time, I'm going back to work. I have too much to do since I'm retired. And so, you know, we can all find some kind of an excuse to not do it. But if we'll look just as hard to find a reason to do it, and to do something more than what we are. Won't be everything. Don't look at that list and try to do everything. You'll give up in frustration. Be better to just pick one thing and do that, in addition to what you're doing. Because I'm not assuming that nothing is happening. We know from Tanya, she hears about the missionaries much through their Facebook and whatever other means she communicates with them, because it's not uncommon for her to do as she did tonight. Raise her hand. She heard something. She knows something about them. That's good. That's helpful too. Okay? All right. Now we're going to close in prayer. I'm going to ask Neil if he will pray first. And then Mike, if he leaves you some time,